Clive, that one running. Okay. Tory Way, Northwest London. What's today? Wednesday, the 30th of November. Tess Vov Cheshvan. Rav Shmuel Baron, what does the Ribbono Shel Olam want of us?
Shalom Aleichem, good morning to everybody. It's an honor and a privilege to be here. To start the day the Torah way. I was asked to speak about any topic, preferably about Shabbos, and that was originally the plan, but I decided to take the first option of whatever I want to speak about, because tonight is the yahrzeit of Moran Rav Shach, Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh Livracha, the 18th yahrzeit, and in his tzavah he left a request from anybody who got anything from him, Baruch Nias or Begashmias, you want to pay me back? Learn one Mishnah from me, or one Machsheves Musar. I always marvel at that tzavah. Is it the pshat because he was so realistic, and he knew that no one was going to do more than that anyway? Or he had appreciation of what one Mishnah, one Machsheves Musar could mean. Maybe they're both right. So I'll just tell you the Machsheves Musar that I had in Schusai after he was Nifter, which his life taught me. In this week's parasha, Parshas Vayera, there are two people who did the same exact mitzvah. And both of them, it was a very, very difficult task, bordering on Mesiras Nefesh. I think the second one was a greater Mesiras Nefesh than the first. Who are we talking about? We're talking about the mitzvah Achnasas Orchim, which Avraham Avinu did on the third day of his Bris Milah, and Lot did in Zdayim, which Achas Dosei Lahamis, for somebody who does Achnasas Orchim in Zdayim. I think the Mesiras Nefesh of Lot was a lot greater. Avraham did it, and Baruch Hashem, he walked out alive. Lot, he be'emes would have gotten killed. If it wouldn't have been that those guests were malachim, and he made everybody blind, and he saved their lives. And they saved his life. And I always marveled. You look in the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Pei Vav, the schar, the reward, that Avraham Avinu got from the Achnasas Orchim that he did. Every single aspect, every detail, which Avraham Avinu did, was repaid by HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Klal Yisrael, the meat that he gave them, for over a million people, for 40 years in the Midbar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them slav, for the fresh bread that he wanted to make, over a million people got man, for the water that he brought, over a million people in the Midbar had water, phenomenal. And then, I haven't looked everywhere, but from the Chazals that we know, we don't find anywhere or anything that Lot got rewarded for his Achnasas Orchim, for his Mesiras Nefesh for Achnasas Orchim. I was marveling, I was bothered. What's talking a pshat? What happened?
Does it mean that if Avraham would not give him the Malachim, that he would have started?
They would have to have different schus in how to get it. You see that this was a payback for that. Hashem would have found it differently. You're right. But the mice, you just see how stark the mitzvah was. But Avraham Avinu deserves such a reward. It seems to be that Rashi epis says something to explain to us that there was something lacking in Lot's Achnasas Orchim. If you look, Rashi says in the beginning, "Vayavish Ne'amalachim l'Zdayim, Zdayim ba'erev, and Lot Yishev b'Shar Zdayim. Vayar Lot saw these guests. Vayakum likrosim, he ran to them and invited them." So Rashi says, "Vayar Lot." Rashi says, interesting six words: "Mibeis Avraham lomad." From the home of Avraham, he learned lachzor al orchim. To go after guests. What's Rashi want? What's he sticking this in for? I was understanding that Rashi is coming to explain to us What's going on, Rosh? Why is a Rosh? He went to Stein. He's sitting with such a shame. You know, where did this come from? This Achmanos Lachem. It doesn't fit. Like, you know, he's trying to be a little bit derogatory. And Rashi's saying, don't get carried away by all I did. He learned that from Avram's house. Like, he's trying to belittle. And I was wondering, isn't that what Chinuch is all about? I see what my father does. I see what my uncle does. I see what the Zayda does. That is what Chinuch is. Like, we all know, Chinuch is not what you say. Chinuch is about what you do. What's wrong with what I did? And Rashi seems to be belittling. Based on Avram Lomad. So you see, everything lies in this Rashi. It's a phenomenal Rashi. But before I carry on, I want to tell you another problem. Something which is mind-boggling. Avram Avinu does such achdas arachim with such great kind, so lavish. He doesn't just shecht an animal to give them fresh meat. Three animals, so each one should get a tongue and in with mustard. And then Sarah should make fresh bread. And one thing, with all this lavishness of Avram Avinu, one thing he is so stingy on, for the most basic commodity. Yukach na ma'at mayim. A little bit of water. Punto! Done! Here Avram Avinu becomes stingy. Abyssal of Asir. What's going on? It's mind-boggling. What's going on? Good cash, you know? Good, not legitimate. Okay. Rabbi Isai.
That doesn't mean that he didn't give them enough to drink.
It says ma'at mayim, berachetz ragleichem, very minimal amount. He stressed a little bit. He stressed. Bring water. No, ma'at mayim. But Avram is stressing it a little bit. Make sure it's a little bit. What's going on? He's asking me a little bit.
It's not such a big deal. Come already.
But he was telling it to somebody else. He was telling it to the person who was going to bring the water. He was not telling him. You got will be. He was talking to them. Nice. That's nice. He's trying to make it though. It's not a tircha. Very nice. Oh, very good. Shh. From the Yud Gimel Midrash Shabtayim Nidrashes. Bol Olami V'Nim Salami. We're going to teach and learning. Very nice. He said that. Very nice. He said that Avram Avinu was trying to show the Malachim. It's not a big deal. I'm not giving matriach a lot. I'm going to bring a little bit of water. I'm not going to be matriach. Of course, I'm going to bring a lot. He was just telling it to the Malachim, a little bit of water will be brought to you. So don't think I'm not going to let you. So don't be uncomfortable to come into me. Very, very nice. Very sweet. Wow. Could I come to London for a day and a half just to get an answer to that?
So when he says Yukach Noah, is there something that he didn't actually do?
I'm getting to that. Beautiful. You're getting to that. Rav Oisai, the answer to all this, Rav Shach's life, Rav Shach Zichron Levracha, taught me the answer. His life taught me the answer. I never learned in Panavish, but I went to him twice for two very important shadows in my life, and he really guided me. He said, a tremendous akaras atayim. See here, I try to pay back every year by the yard side for this machshavas musar. Rav Shach, in my eyes, was to a certain extent a paradox. Mitzad echot, his avas Torah, nothing can compare to avas Torah in his generation, the generation before this. Avas Torah was phenomenal. He said that the two best years of his life were the 2 years during World War I, when he was 16 or 17 years old, between 16, 18, 17, 19, he wasn't home, he had gone to yeshiva, and the war broke out, and he ended up in some village, in some shtetl, and he lived in an Ezras Noshim for 2 years. There were a few women in the shtetl, which made turns every day, bringing him one meal a day. He had one shirt on his back, and a covered Shabbos Kaddish. On Thursday, he used to hang up a shirt by the gutter, so the rain which came through should wash his shirt. And he'd take it inside to dry, and covered Shabbos Kaddish, he would have fresh wash shirt for 2 years. And all he did there was Torah and Torah and Torah, Galant and Galant and Galant. He just learned Torah enough and enough. His Omo and Yigiyas HaTorah was phenomenal. He used to speak and learn with the Brisker Rav. He said once he walked away, he says, you know, I don't know if I have any Elam HaBobachlau, the Geshmak of hearing the Torah from the Brisker Rav. I got my Elam Haba in this world. His Abbas Torah was phenomenal. He once came to Brisker Rav in the afternoon, like 5, 6 in the afternoon, he asked him a kasha. They didn't have a teretz. 2 o'clock in the morning, the Brisker Rav sent his oldest son of Yesheber, Beryl, to go to Rav Shach's house and go and tell him a teretz. He said, Abba Tata, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. He says, Rav Shach didn't come back with an answer yet. He's probably sitting and plugging away in Teretz to find an answer. I want him to get to sleep. Let's go and tell him the Teretz. And Rav Bel went to his house, and of course, Rav Shach was sitting over there in the dining room, harving away. He told him the Teretz. He was able to go to sleep. There was one time when Seif Yom, towards the end of his 80s, 90s, Rav Chananya Cholak and Rav Chesda Schaik were in the house. And Rav Shach was in his room learning. And all of a sudden, in his study, and all of a sudden they heard a thud. Like he fell down or something. What happened? They ran into the room and they saw Rav Shach on the floor. He was learning and he wanted to sit down. He didn't realize it wasn't a chair. He wanted to sit down in the chair. There was no chair. He fell down. He broke his hip. Rabbi Yisai, the pain of breaking a hip is horrendous, Rabbi Yisai. And they wanted to call an ambulance. She said, name. Ich darf endlich in the Nesivis. I have to finish the Nesivis. And they had to schlep him up, Rabbi Chananya Chalak and Rabbi Chesda Schaik, they had to schlep him up back to the table. There was a Shekhanar with the Nesivis today, and he had to live for another 3-4 minutes learning the Nesivis. Oh, he finished. Then they called an ambulance. Then, oy, the Yisrael Chaim. That was the Abbas Terer of Rav Shach. And I'll give you just one more. He says, one Shabbos morning, he gets up and he says, you know, I know what Gehenna feels like. He says, what happened? Last night, I saw what Gehenna feels like. He said, I went to sleep, and they didn't have electricity. He goes, Shabbos, he didn't use electricity, but they back, they used the looks, these gas lamps. He was learning, and then, it's an Asul Hatri, so he lit one by those lamps. Then the thing went out, he went to his bed, and he was thinking, he was falling, Zib Chazim go, whatever, and he had a kasha, and he wanted to go look up the Rambam. He took out the Rambam from the shelf, but it was pitch black. And he tried every place to get by the moonlight or something. He couldn't push it. Was not able to find enough light to be able to do the Rambam. And he says, Mamish, he had a ton of Gehenim. He knows what Gehenim is like. You want to learn, you can't learn. That's one side of Shach. And then the other side. This is what Mamish blew me away. I was the guy one time to Mavar about a Shidduch. A certain, you know, it's a very delicate, sensitive issue. It was like, yeah, Shidduch for a Bach or whatever. And he had to stick a subway in Haifa. And Rav Shach didn't call the fellow up. He took a bus and another bus to Tel Aviv, a trek of probably 5 hours. The whole thing took him back and forth. And they told him, why don't you just call him up? He says, because if I'll speak the person over the phone, I won't get all the nuances. But with the body language and everything else, going to speak them face to face, I'll get a better answer about this topic. It's phenomenal. And then there was a bacher in Nebuch. There's a crazy story. There was a Shabbos Ufruf, and of the chassan of bacher yeshiva, and the father-in-law, the future father-in-law, came, was there, and some bacher had a score to settle with this chassan, and he said something nasty to the future shver. He was a little bit, wow, that's what this guy is. Rav Shach heard about it. He felt it was such a vicious of a bacher. But Sunday morning, Rav Shach left yeshiva. Took a bus to Tel Aviv, went around, found the address, knocked on the person's door, and a young lady opens the door and says, your father home? And she wants, her father of Shach is here. The guy comes running to the door. Yeshiva, yeah. He said, look, I was in Tel Aviv and I was passing by your house. I figured I'll just come in. You know, this is a house where this bacher from Yeshiva is coming into this house. The source that you have to have such a chas and such a bacher. And he was going on for 5-10 minutes. He took care of all the doubts and any sveikis that this person had. One time it was a bacher, it was Erev Pesach. He had to go to the psychologist in Yerushalayim, Reb Shlomo Hoffman, a big psychologist. He called, Reb Shach called up that he has to go. Lel, after B'dikas Chometz, this guy has to come to speak to you emergency. So Reb Shach said, I'll bring him to you. He says, no, I don't trust you too much. You send him to somebody else. Don't make. Rashad said, but someone has to come with him. He says, someone else. Rashad said, the garment, I'll get to you. After the biggest chametz, kamuvan, the bacher comes knocking at Hoffman's door. He's a psychologist. Choshvi Yidav Shlomo Hoffman, invite the gun. And get there. He sees a bus. Then someone brought him, whatever it is. The next morning by Shachris, some people go over to this Rabbi Hoffman and they say, what was Rav Shach doing on the street outside your house? Like he was pacing the road up and down in Rechev Frank in Beit Vagan. He says, what? And then he chapped there. Rav Shach probably brought him. And he didn't want him to feel bad, so he just stood outside. He called it Rav Shach. Rav Shach was in Vastutza. He says, look, what should I do? You told me to send somebody else. What can I send? Lel B'dikas Chometz to bring him. I'm an Alta Yid. I have no children. I have no wife. B'dikas B'dikas Chometz. I can come from B'nai B'dikas Shalayim, an 80-year-old man. And, you know, Shabbos afternoons, for a tkuf in the summer, he disappeared of Shach from his house. Like for 2 hours, he was gone. No one knew where he went. And they went, and finally a few Bnei Bais, they saw him going like for a 20, 25 minute walk to some house, knocked on the door, went into the house, stayed there like for an hour, then would come back. What is this? You want to say? Till finally, he said that a few months before, this is phenomenal, a few months before, a young Almana came to his house, to Rav Shach, broken hearted, you know, she's lowly, and there's no money, and there's this, and there's that, and then the Shabbos, by the suit, there's no one to enter the kid Shabbos afternoon, and all kinds of stuff. So Rav Shach gave her money for shtetl, whatever, stuck money, had to give her, yeah, people gave him money to give, he gave it to her. Then after she left, Rav Shach said, I thought to myself, of all the things that she was saying, that was one of the things she was saying was, there's nobody to learn with the kids Shabbos afternoon that I could do. And the year that 67-year-old man would walk 25 minutes in the heat of the summer to this Almana's house to sit with the kids, learn with this kid Olive Base, tell them stories to the little girls, play some marbles with them in Chmei Shavuos for an hour, and then go back. I was mind boggling when his wife was sick. I want to bring out the point, this paradox of how these two things are here, the Avos Torah, the Asmoda, the Igiyah, and here so much time. When his wife Nebuchadnezzar was sick, he used to be in the hospital all day by her bedside. And he used to go out for an hour to Panovich to say shir and then come right back. Rav Ozner, Zechon Ebracha, well, once get to the hospital for something, to visit somebody, he knew Rav Shach was there. He wants to see what Rav Shach doing there the whole time. So he comes and he hears Rav Shach mumbling. He thought it was Rambam's Gemaras. Here's closer. It's Pesukim. He asks Rav Shach, what's that? He said, no, it's hard for me to concentrate over here in learning. So I just say Pesukim, Vemun, Bitochen. He says, so what are you sitting here a whole day for? Is that a waste of your time? Without learning, you sit in this medish. You know what Rav Shach told me? My wife told me 2 weeks ago, Lazer, I know you can't do much for me for my illness. And she had sugar, she suffered, it was terrible, she was different at the end. But I want you just to know, Lazer, when you're here in the room, it makes me feel a lot better. From when Rav Shach heard that, he stayed by her bedside, day in, day out, day after day, not learning, not gemara, not chulut. The pesukim of Emunah B'Tachin, phenomenal. And I couldn't understand. Here the Abbas Torah, that's smart, and the Yigir. Until Rabbi Yisai, by the Shloshim, Reb Don Segel, so Gun Shtarzai, gave a hesped, and he said over one story. And that was an eye-opener, and that's the teretz to the Machsheves Musar, of what light and Avram is all about, and what a yid, how a yid has to live. The story was, Rav Shach, he was the Nasi of Chinuch Atzmai, you know, he was the oldest yid in Eretz Yisrael at the time, and they had a meeting in Yerushalayim. He came from Bnei Brak, and that was called for 5 o'clock, let's say. He left Yerushalayim Bnei Brak, 3:30, he was there by 5 to 5, 10 to 5, 5 until everyone got together. Was it the 5:36? The meeting went for an hour or two back and forth. There's some little small discussion. By the time they got back to Bnei Brak, it was 10:30. And this younger man who was with him, he told Rav Shach by the time they got back, it was like 8 hours later. He says, Rebbe Shiva, was it really kedai? Isn't that what a waste of time? 8 hours for what? For a few little decisions they could have done on their own. And Rav Shach looked at him like he fell from the moon. And he told him 5 words. Aber was will Bnei Olam? But what does Ribbono Shel Olam want? Aber was will Bnei Olam? I'm not here to learn Torah in this world. I'm here to do Vas Vil Bar Yilam. What does the Ribbono Shel Olam want? I'm the oldest guy. I'm the oldest person here from Klal Yisrael. Chinuch Atzmai needs a leader. It's going to fall apart if I'm not there. Is there an essence, an issue of time, a bit of Torah? What kind of ridiculous thing is that? You know what I heard from those words? Rav Shach was not learning Torah. Rav Shach was not doing Chesed. Rav Shach had one thing in his life. Vas vil bari olam. When now is the time to do chesed, to go and sit and learn, is punching the Ribbono Shel Olam in his face. A problem? Something wrong?
Yeah.
What's that? What's wrong?
All good.
I'll stop. What will Bari Olam? What does Ribbono Shel Olam want? If now it's time to do chesed, then to go and learn Torah, it's not that you're doing second best. You're punching him in the face. If now it's time to learn Torah, to do and do chesed, that's punching him in the face, Kevin Yochel. You're not doing second best. Rabbi Yisai, Avram Avinu was not that lesson. That lesson, a person has to go through life. Vos vil bari oilu, what is rots and Hashem? That's the only thing which I care about. That was Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu, his greatness was not that he did achnosas orchim. Like we said, Avram Avinu gave a little bit of water, asked for a little bit of water. One text we heard before. What's that, a little bit of water? Avram Avinu was not busy with achnosas orchim. If he would be focused on achnosas orchim, of course, I want lavish, I want everything, the best and the most. Rega, the meat he brought. Ela Boker Rats Avram. The bread, his wife Ishtek Gufay, that was the best. She was himself. But water, he wasn't going to bring the water. Yukachna ma'at mayim. He was going to ask somebody else to bring the water. Like it says, he was asking a servant. The servant is a slave. But Avraham says, I'm not busy with Achnosas Orchim. I'm busy with Vos Vil Bari Olam. I have to be sensitive to somebody else's feelings because I want to make a lavish achnasas orchim. I'm going to be matriach, somebody else, to go and schlep more water than is basically necessary. He wasn't busy with achnasas orchim. He was busy with vos vil bari olam. What is Ratzon Hashem in everything that I'm doing? Take everything into perspective. Rega, what's Ratzon Hashem? I'm not focused on achnasas orchim. You want to look at light? This is crazy if you think about it. It's not normal. The malachim are sitting in his house, gasking. No, they were malachim at the time. And the whole Holstein comes around from light. They want to kill, they want to do everything, kill the guests, etc., etc. And what is light, this guy, what does he say? This royal life. You know what he says? I have two daughters. Take them for the night and do what you want. Is he crazy? Is he imbecile? It's not normal. Now what's the pshat? Light was not busy with Vos Vil Bari Olam. He was not busy with what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants. He was busy with Achnosas Orchim. And that's exactly what Rashi is saying. Mi Beis Avram Lamad. Chinuch is the most beautiful thing. Following your elders, following your father, following your great uncle. That's Givaldik. But he missed the message of the Chinuch. Mi Beis Avram Lamad Zatrashi. From the home of Avram, he learned Lachzor Achar Orchim, to go after guests. That was not the chinuch. The chinuch of Avram Avinu was Vos Vil Bari Olam, not to do Achnasas Orchim. He missed a boat in the chinuch. Chinuch is beautiful, but get the right message. What does it say later on in the parasha? When it came to his dime, before Hashem made the churban his dime, he said, how can I not tell Avram Avinu? Ki yadativ, because I love Avram Avinu. Why? Leman asher yitzaves bonaves beisai achrov, because he's going to teach his children and his legacy for generations to come that what? Not to do achnasas orchim, v'shamru derech Hashem, to follow the derech Hashem, vos vil bari olam. That's the avodah. They said in the beginning that the topic is what does Hashem want for the tzad. I said the topic is vos vil bari olam. Now the nusach, the nigin, can be the way you want to say it. I'm not coming to answer that. We have to ask that question to ourselves all through life. Vos vil bari olam, in all situations, in all matzavim. That is the legacy that we got from Avraham Avinu. I just want to add, there's one other nekuda in vos vil bari olam. Years ago, I saw in a sefer, I think it's called Asar Nisyanis, from somebody, Rav Pinter, put out a sefer in the beginning. In the first page, even before the Akdama, he writes up a little story, and he brought one message, but I saw such a powerful message there. He said, a king didn't have any children, and who's going to be the future? No, he wanted to have a yoriya, someone should be there. So he wanted to get a kid, adopt a child, and bring him, Hill should be the future. Who's going to take? He made a mifza, he made a contest. all the children from the country, and he gave out seeds. Each child got a seed of a beautiful flower, and each guy got a flower pot with a seed, and they should plant this thing and nourish it, nurture it, some like water it, etc., etc., etc. And then in 6 months' time, whoever had that most beautiful flower, he's gonna become the adopted child. The advice they gave it, there was one kid, he was working his kishkas out, watering it, putting it in the sun, and it just wasn't growing. He went to this guy, to that guy, to his father, to his mother, to his professional. They did nothing work, tried this soil, nothing. Kids are 6 months later, all the kids are coming, each guy's coming with this beautiful flower pot, with beautiful flowers and who knows what. And the king said, thousands, tens of thousands of kids. The king's looking, until he sees that one kid with that empty flower pot, with the sand and nothing's growing. He calls him over. Boy, come here. Why don't you do what I asked you to do? He said, but your highness, I did. I tried, the kid broke down crying. I tried and I harvested and I plugged and I asked and I did. Nothing happened. And the king said, you're the one that I'm adopting. They couldn't understand it. Look at all the beautiful flowers everyone made. And the king said, this is crazy. All the seeds that I gave to all the kids were seeds that were cooked. Cooked seeds cannot grow. If anyone over here came with a flower growing, they threw away the seed that I gave them and they took a different seed. This is the only child that stuck to the seed which I gave him, and that's what called nothing taka grew. So he was bringing out the message of Emes. I understood a different message. I think the message is phenomenal. Why did the king choose him? To be a leader is not what all the kids do. The king asked them to plant the seed. Not one of them did what the king wanted. They all threw away what the king wanted, and they did what they wanted to do. This is the only kid that did what the king wanted him to do. You are worthy of being a king. Rabbi Isai, this goes into Vasla Boy Olam. Boy Olam puts us into different situations in our lives. And so many times we're not happy with that situation. And we throw it away and we want to do something else. Reb Yid, you missed the boat. Vas vil Boy Olam. This situation, this is the challenge which I gave you. This is the sign which I'm giving you. This is what the Rebbeinu Shel Olam wants from me. Don't throw it away and do something else. It can be marvelous. You can be millions of dollars and thousands of hours of Torah. But that wasn't your sign. Your sign was to be nice to your wife. Your sign was to do this, was to do that. That was on your plate. And you threw it and you went to do something else. Chavis HaBavis writes in two places. In Shabbatot and Perek Zion, he writes about Sibra Chosid Echot. From the Sibra Chosid Echot, he says, Me Olam Laikara. It never happened. Sheishkamti b'boiker, that I woke up in the morning. Umatzosius atzmi b'matzav mesuyam, and I found myself in a certain situation. V'hishteikakti, and I wished that I should be in a different situation. That never happened in my life. Says the Chavis HaVavos b'shem Chosid Echad. Because if that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu put on my plate, that's what I have to deal with. The Vasvil b'yoylam. Could have, would have, should have, if only, if. That's all treif. Chavis HaVavos b'shem Shabbat in Shachash v'nefesh in Parag Gimel. Chesh v'yud Gimel. Don't fool yourself with luv'yu, if only. And what's the way to do it? The way Avraham Avinu went to understand this. I saw years ago from Matisse Osama, one klein of art, that Rabbi Yehuda, everyone learns that the 10th Nesayin of Avraham Avinu was Akedas Yitzchak. Rabbi Yehuda in Ovis learns that the 9th Nesayin was Akedas, the 10th Nesayin was Kfuras Yitzchak. How could that be? What? Kfuras Sarah. He had the very son, he couldn't find a plot of land, which at so belongs to him. And Thakapella, what makim is there for a Nesayin after the Nesayin of Akedah willing to give up his whole future son? Rabbi Matisse Osama said, Amari de Gavart. Of course, the Nesayin of Akedah Yitzchak is so much more difficult. But there's one thing in the Nesayin of Sarah which is not Akedah Yitzchak. Akedah Yitzchak started out with Kavi Yochel, a phone call from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Hashem speaks to Avram. Kach no. I'm going to give you a Nesayin, like Rashi says. Please stand up to the test. The Nesayin of Kfuras Sarah didn't come with a phone call beforehand that there's going to be a Nesayin. It just came out of the blue. It's very minimal, but that was not bad in the sense. Avraham Avinu, how was he living in the Nesayin? You know what the pshat is? Because every situation, think about this. If you would get a phone call from the Rebbe, hello? This is the Rebbeinu Shlem on the line. You should know. You're going out to the workplace today. You're going out to the Beis Medrash today. You should know. There's somebody there who's going to really get you angry. He's going to really munch you. But that's the sign I'm giving you. Please stand up to the test. You would have no problem that you'll be all ready for it. By Avraham Avinu, every Nisayan which came his way, Avraham Avinu felt that he was getting a phone call from the Rebbeinu Shalom. Hello, this is Rebbeinu Shalom on the line. By Kfar Asara, he felt Rebbeinu Shalom was talking to me. If he gave me this situation, this is him talking to me, telling me, I am giving you this Nisayan, this situation. Please stand up to it. And I found this before Shapasuk in the beginning of Toldos. Hashem tells Yitzhak Avinu, what's the goddess of Avram? Eikin asher shama Avram b'kayli. He listened to my voice. Vayishma mishmarti, mitzvayse chukoyse v'sarosai. Mishmarti, the rabbonins, mitzvayse chukoyse v'sarosai. All of the rises. What's kayli? Listen to this Rashi. Shama Avram b'kayli, says Rashi. Kishen yiseisi oisai. When I gave him the siyonis, he listened to my voice. Rega, there's a lot of Nisayim Hashem didn't speak to him. Rashi's telling us the secret. Every situation which came up, Avraham Avinu felt that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was speaking to him. Das vil bari olam. My dear friends, this is our avodah to go through life. This question should be nagging us the whole time. Every situation, vas vil bari olam. And don't just be busy with what you're doing. Take everything else into account. And every situation, don't try to run away from it. Accept it. This is what Rebbeinu Shlom wants for me. Have a beautiful day. Hatzlacha gedolah.